is Russell Hicks. Now, with me as always, is my partner Zara Berry.
Hello.
But however, today, we have a very special guest on the podcast visiting us this weekend, Zara's mother, Teresa. Teresa!
Woo! Hi.
Yeah.
Double Barry.
Right in
now.
There. Right
double
in there.
Barry.
Now, Teresa, I'm so glad that you could be here because you have got to witness firsthand the debates that go on outside of the podcast where Zara is, you know, by your own admission, rather combative with me and a bit aggressive. So I'm glad you got to see that. And I understand
I'm
that
just as aggressive to my mom as well.
Yeah, I know.
It's not like it's just you that riles me.
Yeah, I know. It's been your mom. Your mom has also been witnessing your just random start a fight about nothing and stick to her guns and then run to the other room and grab her phone and do research to disprove you. It's very off-putting.
She says ridiculous things, so I have to debate them.
So what did you guys have an argument about? You said that you guys...
Okay, so
before we start
happened.
The show, I want to know what you two had an argument about while I was gone.
Okay, so basically my mum asked me where we were going for dinner tonight. I said we're going to this Indian restaurant called Shosna. So she said she was going to look it up and have a look at like the reviews and stuff. So she put in Shosna into Google and said, oh yeah, it's got really good reviews on the website. And I said, well, of course it's got good reviews on the website. They're not going to put bad reviews on the website. And she was like, no, sometimes I go on websites and they have bad reviews on their websites. I said, that's ridiculous. You can't... that's like me putting bad reviews on my website. That's like having a shop and putting a bad review in your window. It's like, you would never do that. And she said, well, I'm on the website and, you know, I've been on these websites and there's bad reviews on them. I said, you couldn't have been on the website.
Right, it's kind of like a comedian's Edinburgh poster.
Yes, exactly.
Nobody's fair. What's the point of even promoting yourself on a poster? We know you've cherry-picked, but I'll be the arbitrator here. In Teresa's defense, I believe what Teresa's saying is that sometimes maybe there's like a Yelp or perhaps a Trustpilot is attached to the website. Teresa, is that what you're saying?
Well, when I went into the website for the restaurant, I went into the bit on the website which said reviews. So
that's not the website though. That's the Google.
I don't
that
care.
That Google search you were on.
I don't care what it was. I went into the website for the Indian restaurant and I pressed the review button and that's where I got my reviews.
Again, she was not on the website. She was on the Google website page.
Okay, well, I've heard both sides of the story. And it sounds like Zara was being abusive. And
I'm not denying I wasn't abusive.
And
it's just right.
That's parental abuse.
There's a difference.
That's parental abuse. And, you know, it's a felony in this country. So I'm going to side with you on that one, Teresa. Either way, I think we're having some good Indian
sucking
tonight.
Sucking up to the mother-in-law. Why is that a surprise?
Well, because she agreed with me earlier that when you absolutely lost your mind at the suggestion that an avocado, like Zara claims that basically if anyone's ever ordered an avocado in England, you know that it's ridiculous. It's not something that is it a fruit or vegetable? This is
fruit,
like a debate.
I believe. And by the way, can we just say sorry for the sound? We're not closing the windows because it's too bloody hot.
Yeah. Yeah. The window's open. So I don't think it's going to be too bad, but you just have to deal with it. That's good podcasting, isn't it?
Yeah, great.
Anyway, the avocados were terrible, and Zara says that they're a special kind of avocado or something.
They're from a different region.
Yeah, it's called England, and they don't ripen.
No, they're from a different country. You have ones from Peru, and then you have ones from Florida, and I think the ones from Florida are the ones that don't ripen.
But you made that up, is what I'm saying. You've made that up. Let's not get into it. Let's start the podcast. Okay. The first topic on display today is, I was talking to someone recently who said that during the lockdown, there was a bit of an issue where one of them was doing very well being, you know, getting, being quite successful, and the other one was maybe struggling a little bit, and that caused a bit of conflict. This is a, you know, this is something you hear about in relationships. One person more successful than the other, perhaps an income disparity, and that tends to cause conflict in a relationship. I guess what I'm saying is, do you think that's a problem for you?
I think it's a gender thing. I personally, like, we always say this, we never have any career jealousy between us. We are always very happy for each other to do well. In fact, I want my partner to do well. I prefer that they're more successful than me, to be honest. But I do realise that I'm saying that because I'm a woman, and I think women in relationships, it's almost a default setting. The man is more successful than the woman. So as a woman, my man being more successful than me doesn't affect my ego at all, because that's a very normal, most women do have,
right? So it's more on me
earning more money. But I often find that women, that I think there was an episode of Sex and the City actually where Miranda, a high-flying lawyer, felt bad for going out with Steve, a barman, because she was earning more money than him. And you know, if for some reason society, men don't like it, or they feel but even women, they feel, you know, like it's unmasculine or something.
I don't know. Yeah. I think the reason, okay, I think men feel differently, possibly, but the only way I could see that being a problem is because they wouldn't be in charge of how they spend it. See, if it were up to you,
yeah.
Let's be honest, Teresa, maybe you can relate to this. So you can be the arbitrator in these debates, Teresa.
Just remember to speak into
the
mic.
I think... Oh, yeah, it says your daughter who has the exact same problem. Don't you worry, Teresa.
Yes, I will.
Yeah. Honestly, you're both church mouses, if I'm honest.
You've got the loudest voice in the world.
I know, but still. Okay, so... And it's lovely. But a man might not spend the money the same way, because I was thinking about this. So I think it's only a problem if the other person is wanting to drag them into a lifestyle that makes that income disparity more apparent. For example, I think if a woman has, like, let's just say you had all the money in the world right now, we'd probably be doing a lot more things. We'd be going out to eat.
We'd be on holiday.
Can you imagine if it was your? I mean, it'd be insane. First of all, I would be crying daily, just saying, please don't. I can't believe you spent that much money. And we'd be going on holidays. We'd be doing all this stuff. And so I think that that's where that maybe the conflict can happen. And I guess that could go both ways, a man and a woman. But
I don't know.
Does that make sense, even?
I understand what you're saying. But I feel like, say if I earn a lot more money than you, I still don't think I would be able to drag you to the places that I want to drag you, because you will not be dragged. Like, you will just be like, well, I'm going over here. I'm not going to go out.
But that could cause a problem. So you start going to these expensive cocktails, wherever you're at now. You're up on the Shard having your little cocktail party. And I'm like, nah, I'll be over it. I'll be at Forbidden Planet if you need me. And then next thing you know, Sex in the City, you meet Mr. Big or whatever. And maybe you start thinking, I need to ditch this loser.
I think it's more psychological than superficial. I think it's just the very idea that maybe you're like living off me, or I'm paying your rent, for example. I feel like that is more psychologically inflicting on a man than a woman. If you were going to pay my rent, I probably, society would not really deem that as that strange. I mean, maybe, yeah, but the other way round, if I was supporting you, I think that society, I think society would make you feel inferior, and you would, it would, I don't know, it's a disparity between the sexes.
I guess so. I don't know if it would have that much of an effect on me. But I think if you pay anyone's rent, they're going to feel a little bit mollycoddled or whatever.
I know a lot of partnerships where, say, you've been together a long time and one of them loses their job and the other one supports them. And I think
so hilarious.
I'm sharing the mic with my mom. She
absolutely rages on her mom for not speaking into the microphone. Meanwhile, Zara
Zara's
been doing the podcast to the fridge.
What was I saying? I was saying, but yeah, so say a partner, one, like they've been together for a while, they live together, and one of them loses their job, and then the other one is expected to support them for an X amount of time. And, you know, it's if it's the man that's lost his job, then sometimes, you know, there'd be a period of time where the woman is supporting the man. And I do think it would probably have an effect on the relationship because the power dynamic changes and it, there's something like the man shouldn't feel like this, but yeah, there's something quite, I suppose if you were supporting me, I would feel indebted to you though. That would be disconcerting.
Yeah.
It would be disconcerting, but it wouldn't be,
you'd get over it.
Yeah,
I don't think I would. I don't think you'd mind. She'd be happy. Teresa, what do you think?
I think she'd be happy.
She'd be fine with it.
Getting my rent paid.
Yeah. Well, that feminism would wash away pretty quick, wouldn't it? Huh?
Yes, it would, definitely. I'd be like, oh. The thing is, though, I don't really, when you've been with someone so long, it's almost like, it's not even about feminism, though, is it? Or it's about, you support your partner.
I don't know, though. I think it could be weird if one person is making so much more than the other. It's a little strange, I think. Maybe. Which is sad, but it could be. Even if the other one doesn't have a problem. I don't know. I wouldn't care. Honestly, we've said this before. You know, we know, like, I know Gary Delaney is a good comedian, and his wife is Sarah Millican, and, like, she's very famous. And I've just thought, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
But then again, he does really well too. But I'm just saying, like, that's, if you became thing. Sarah Millican, I'd be like, fine.
Yeah.
Great.
No, the thing
big
is,
house.
The thing is, say if you earned loads of money and I just stayed the same, I think it's about doing what you love. So as long as I was working on what I love, I think the danger is when one person is making all the money and working and the other person is doing absolutely sweet FA.
Oh, right.
Do you know what I mean? I think then there's because then there's like a power dynamic, like you're sat on the sofa watching TV, getting everything paid for you.
Oh, that's pretty
whereas
cool.
Whereas like, say if you're earning loads and I'm not earning loads, but we're both working as hard as each other on our art, I don't think that would be a problem.
Okay, then. There it is. All right, then. Well, let's hope that we have that problem.
Yeah, I'd love that problem.
I would love it too. During lockdown, people apparently, you would think maybe that an affair is the thing that would break them up. That seems to be the worst thing you can do. But actually, people are breaking up during lockdown. You read this in an article because of just general annoyance with each other, just little things.
Well, a divorce lawyer has said that the top reason people are, because obviously you can't have an affair during lockdown. I mean, unless you're really like breaking the rules, you know, you can't have an affair during lockdown. So the reason why people are having divorces now is not because of infidelity. It's because of little things like nagging and just getting generally annoyed by the sight of their partner. So
yeah,
and also things like the idea that an affair isn't actually the worst thing. The worst thing is just because you can have an affair and have a great relationship, possibly. I mean, hypothetically.
What?
Well, say if someone has a one night stand.
Yeah.
And they just end up like the other person doesn't know, or it was just a blip. And
yeah.
Then they just, and sometimes it helps a relationship. Sometimes it will add a spark, or I don't know, get the jealousy juices going. I don't know. But it's like,
oh, Teresa's making a face.
What do you think?
I think it depends, really, because I think a lot of people would have a guilt issue at that, and that would eat away at them.
Yeah.
Well, apparently your daughter's a sociopath.
No, I'm not saying.
I agree with you, Teresa. No. I would think a normal human being would feel bad about it.
I read an article where it was saying, basically, just because someone has had an affair doesn't mean you need to end the marriage, because you can go to counselling and try and work on it. It's more the stigma of someone. I think society puts a stigma on the fact that if someone has an affair, you should dump their asses. You know, look at Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. Like, everyone judged her for taking Bill Clinton back. And it's like, well, you can still repair a marriage after an affair. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a good thing, but like, maybe other problems in a marriage are worse. Like, for example, I don't know, not being physical with each other, or not having any respect for each other. Like, think about it. Like, don't you think there are worse?
Well,
there's just the contemplation of there are worse things that can happen in a marriage.
Do you ever see people though? Like, I see when I go on my walks or something. Like today, I saw these two people walking, and they had just come back from Sainsbury's Sunday grocery shop, and they were so clearly having a fight.
Oh no.
Right on the walk. And I just thought, man, like, I couldn't make out what they were saying, but she had stopped and he had kept walking, you know, so he was a little far ahead of her, and he had turned around and he was just going like arms open, like, you know, obviously yelling. And I just thought, God, I just thought, you guys have been stuck in a flat for 12 months.
Yeah.
You can't stand the sight of each other.
Do you know what? There's nothing doing that worse than having a fight in public. But when I do see couples having a fight in public, I do get great joy out of listening to them. Like,
yeah, I watched it. I did watch it.
What were they arguing about?
Do you ever want to intermediate? Do you ever want to, like, arbitrate it and just walk up and be like, hey, what's going on here?
No, I can't. I'm normally quite scared of them both because they look quite scary.
Yeah, any two people that have a fight in public.
But it's glorious though when you see it. You're just like, especially when you're with your partner and you just feel very smug. You're like, well, we're fine.
Yeah, but also, you know? When I see two people arguing like that in public, really going at it, if they're young, if they're like in their 20s, like early 20s,
oh yeah,
my instinct is to just go up to both of them and say, hey, listen, trust me, I've been there.
Yeah.
Break up.
Yeah.
Just break up right now.
Do you know what, though?
It's not going to last. You're young. You know, I know you think it's love. You hate each other. Just stop.
But what's worse, seeing couples arguing like in the street or something, or going to a restaurant and seeing two couples on their phones not talking to each other, which, you know, to be fair, we all do that occasionally. But
do you ever see a couple have the silent argument?
Oh,
the quiet, like, not here, not here.
Oh yeah,
the little nitpicky thing. Where'd you put my bag? It's right there. And then, why'd you do that? Don't worry about that little, like, and you're just like, oh God, that's gonna be an explosion when they get home.
I remember, do you remember when we lived in Ascot and we lived we sometimes heard the neighbors fighting? But I bet you they heard us fighting.
There's no way that our neighbors haven't heard us, though, arguing. I mean, if they heard what we're arguing
sometimes
about.
Sometimes
I mean, we were screaming about those avocados.
No, and they can probably hear us right now, because when I walk up the stairs to get into the flat, I can hear the TV on and I can.
What?
Yeah, I can hear your, like.
Oh, we must be driving people nuts.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
You can hear the television when you come down the hallway.
No, when
way.
You approach our door.
No
so,
way.
Like, our next door neighbor can probably
no
hear
way.
Us out.
No.
Yeah, they can.
No, that's not right. You can't.
Oh,
the TV.
No, I've heard it on the phone.
Well, that's different. You've got a podcast when you take a bath, and that's booming. I can hear that.
No,
I can hear that
yeah.
on the second floor. So, yeah. People just nitpicking, man. I think lockdown's great for most relationships then. Like,
what
let's
do
see
you
if
mean?
Because let's get this out in
the
open.
Time,
yeah, anybody can stay together if you're getting a little space. But to be,
do you think though that the couples that have split up over lockdown, do you think they would have eventually split up?
Yeah.
Over time, it's
sure.
just Corona has like compacted their
yeah.
relationship into
yeah.
one, and they've managed to do their relationship however long it was going to last, but in a
yeah.
compacted
because,
time.
Because you know, everybody got reflective during lockdown. And it's only natural that you're sitting there thinking, what have I done with my life? What have I done so far? That naturally, you're just going to sort of glance to your left at this slob sitting on the couch with you and just think, what am I doing with this guy? What am I doing here?
Do you think that they would have eventually come to that same conclusion if lockdown didn't happen?
Maybe. It would have taken a while.
Yeah, maybe it would have taken a longer time, or maybe they wouldn't have ever had those thoughts.
But we've all gotten reflective. Teresa, did you learn anything about yourself during this lockdown?
Well, I moved in lockdown, and I feel like Billy No Mates, because I've not made any friends locally, because there's nothing open.
Yeah, but you got loads of grandkids to look after, so yeah. You don't need any friends. Yeah. You're the hired help.
You feel like Billy No Mates, huh?
Yeah.
Because you got no friends in that area.
No, I've got friends everywhere else, but not where I live.
Well, that's why this is good.
You did do some Zoom book clubs in the area. But
I understand that Zoom clubbing is not really something you're into.
No, I like being with people. I don't want to be doing them via Zoom. It's not natural to me.
No, you need to.
I need their energy.
You need the energy.
Yeah.
You need them right there.
Yeah.
Breathing.
Zoom is rubbish. You can't make friends on Zoom.
No.
You can't make friends on Zoom.
I couldn't even keep up with my actual friends on Zoom.
You can't make friends on Zoom.
No.
That's for sure. Can you keep friends? Possibly. Make new friends on Zoom?
No.
Never happened.
No.
Impossible. Not a thing.
No.
Unless you meet them after lockdown and all the rules, and then you get to know them better. It's possible, I suppose.
Yeah, but why would you want to hang out with them if you'd only met them on Zoom?
No relationship that starts online lasts,
actually,
and I am including online dating, okay?
No, I think online dating...
It's not natural.
In a way, it got better because I had friends that would do a whole date on Zoom.
That is the saddest... Let me tell
and
you.
They didn't...
That actually makes me sad inside that you've said that.
Oh, no. The Guardian did it with their couple.
What? What are you doing? We're going to be out of... this is the time... Listen, people who are going on Zoom to date... This is a time for you to work on the real problem, which is you. Okay?
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Look, the reason you're saying...
You're going to get canceled, Russell. You're
going to
get
canceled. No, I'm not. This is tough love. Okay? Rather than go dating, this is a great time for people to look themselves in the mirror and say, hey, why am I single? What's wrong with me?
Like this question. Why? As if people that are single, there's nothing wrong with them.
No, I don't think so.
The idea that you have to be in a couple to be a person is a ridiculous societal condition that I think is ridiculous.
I don't think there's anything wrong with people being single either. I'm only saying that single people seem to think there's something wrong with it. Single people... are like, oh, I need... And I'm like, okay, well, then to me, the solution is not desperately trying to attach yourself to somebody. You know, find passion in your own life. And,
but also, people
Zoom date. What is that?
People don't want to turn their lives off. Like, there are... I'm not going to use this... say this again to you. I'm sure you're very aware. But a woman only has a few eggs left. And they don't... when they're in their 30s. And they don't want to spend a year... in lockdown, not
here's what
making
I, okay.
progressions to find the father of their child.
Well, okay, yeah. I mean, that whole thing.
But also
Okay, I don't understand that. That is such as just a.
If that
that is such a sterile way.
Pardon the pun.
It's so bizarre. Like time is ticking. I mean, already. That there's a lot of pressure on that relationship. What are you looking for? Well, there's a ticking time bomb in my uterus, and I need to get that fixed right now. It's like, oh my gosh. Also, people who date on Zoom, I don't understand how that already is not like enough for you to hit it off. Because if you're both to the point that you've gone on Zoom to date, how is that already not like we are, that is such a thing in common, we are connected. The fact that you could both be that desperate and then still decide, no, not you. I mean, come on, that's the problem.
I don't think it's desperate to go on a Zoom date. I think that's a bit mean. I think it's just, they want to continue dating because they don't want a whole year of not finding the person that they want to be with. They want to continue to fight to look for someone.
Yeah, okay. I didn't mean it's desperate. I'm sorry. I'm being insensitive. I am just trying to help people. Teresa, you understand I'm trying to help people.
What do you think, Mum?
Well, Teresa's already said she... Well, go ahead, sorry.
Well, I basically think that people if they want to find somebody, they want to start looking at any point. It doesn't matter whether there's a lockdown or whatever. So they want to start the search rather than delay it, really.
Exactly. Why would you want to... It's like if you couldn't do comedy for a year, you know, you would still do comedy, wouldn't you? You would seek it out because that's what you love doing.
No. Listen, if I couldn't do comedy for a year, I wouldn't be like going down to the street corner and say, because I'm sorry, online dating by that analogy is like, I couldn't do comedy for a year, so I just started standing on benches in Sainsbury's or something. I just went into a Sainsbury's and just stood up and went, hey, what's the deal with these aisles, right?
No, you haven't been able to do that much comedy over lockdown, and you've been writing, which is basically writing your jokes.
I'm sorry, everyone. No, I agree. I'm only trying to help is what I'm saying. And Teresa, I think you had a great point. And
but also, why is a Zoom date not enjoyable? Because I've read The Guardian Zoom dates, and they get a takeaway, and they say, what do you expect from your date? Oh, I just want to have like some chat with someone. Like, some people are literally completely on their own. And like, they also want to find a partner. Why wouldn't they go on a Zoom date?
I just don't understand.
Some people don't find it. Like, some people actually enjoy it. And also, you don't have to leave the house. You know, that in a way it's like less committal than an actual date, so you know.
Well, whatever happened to just approaching people in the street, Teresa? I mean, how did they used to do it in your day?
Well,
you know, you'd be down at the shop, right, in your day, you know, let's say the swinging 60s, right?
Yeah,
you're in your go-go boots. You're in your go-go boots, you're in a shop, and
Looking like Twiggy with your short hair and your long eyelashes.
Some man would just come up to you drinking a gin.
He
had a gin and tonic on the street.
No, you wouldn't do it like that. You'd meet people in bars or in clubs.
Well, I know,
way you did it.
And you'd get chatted up.
Yeah.
But certainly people didn't just approach you down at Boots.
Yeah, but...
I imagine men were a lot more aggressive back then. They'd just walk up, slap you on the butt and say, hey, sugar buns. Hey there, sugar bunch. What you say, you come take a ride on my moped? We'll go down, or scooter, whatever they were riding back then, some mod. I don't know, man. I feel really bad now. I'm not trying to be insensitive. The only reason I say these things, I'm just trying to help people.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not saying you're desperate.
I think you're a bit judgmental.
Only because I don't like to see people.
Just because you wouldn't do it, because I don't know if I would do it, but I can still have empathy for people that do it and want to find someone and you know, are worried about things like losing a year to.
It's just not that spontaneous.
And they're like in their late 30s and they want to have children. You know, that's not me, but I have empathy towards those sorts of people.
I think girls are a little. You know, what is the real age limit here? I think they get a little, you know, I think you can do it into your 40s.
Well, let's talk to Teresa Barry. She's a nurse, and also she had children quite late. She had me at 36.
Well, you go. Powerful, strong woman, feminism. And that was at a time that was unacceptable. Talk about Billy No-Mates.
Mother, tell us about your pregnancy journey, because you did take a while to get pregnant, didn't you?
Yeah, quite a few years, about 7 years, I reckon.
What was wrong?
Oh, we don't really know for sure, but anyway, along came two girls.
Yeah, but you
see that?
But after 7 years of trying, she tried for 7 years, and you were 33 when you had your first child.
I was 33, and I was nearly 36 when I had
me,
you, Zara.
Yeah, and
still pretty young.
But what is, well, back in the day, that was quite old.
It was, yeah.
So
everyone
I'm saying,
was like 25.
I think, honestly, I mean, as far as I can tell, you could probably do it up to 50.
No.
No way.
Why?
You get the menopause at 50.
Yeah.
Well, you were 56 when you had your menopause.
So right,
the average age, some people have menopause at 45.
So you can't just slip in right before the gate closes?
No, because you get less periods. You have less eggs. Your eggs basically stop. Like, you just...
Where was I when they were teaching all this stuff, man? See, they don't teach us this very well in school.
So what's the deal with... So with the menopause, the average age, I listened to I watched the menopause documentary, is 51.
Bloody
my
hell.
Mum was 56.
What are we on, loose women here? Eh? What's this podcast turned into?
I know
this PC gone mad.
I know people that had their menopause at 38.
38, some people have their menopause.
Wow.
So they're
yikes. Young. Yeah. That's young. But that's then, like Benjamin Button or something.
For every, that's early menopause, but it's still possible. But for every, obviously there's stories, like I always think of like Helen Fielding. She had her she had two babies when she was like 45. And a lot of women can still get pregnant at 45, but it's just, they're not willing, it's very risky because you can, it is medically possible to have children at 45, but it's also, your chances just decrease every single year. And so it's like whether you want to leave it to chance.
I guess what I'm saying is, if that's what you want to do with the online dating and everything, then do that. Mm-hmm. And absolutely. But just don't do anything if you feel like, you know, out of this desperation, like you have to, and if it's not enjoyable, I think, you know, I mean, I don't know. That's just what I think. And also, if you have an online date with someone and you're just desperate to meet somebody, you know, lower the bar a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
The guy met you online for a date. You both did that. Start going out.
I think if I was desperate for a baby and I was single, I would probably just get pregnant and do it on my own. But then that's easy for me to say. Maybe I wouldn't do that because that is a real.
Well, I don't know. Would you really? You would just get some random.
If I was that desperate for a baby, possibly, maybe I would do that. I don't know. Or you can go to a sperm bank.
Well, I didn't know we were talking about babies.
No, I didn't know that.
I thought it was dating online. And then it turned into, you know, it's all very serious. I thought it was just dating. And then it turns into this, like, you're trying to get men to have a baby. My God.
Yeah, because men,
I mean,
don't have this problem. Because men can get and have babies at 60 or 70 even. So it's easy for a man to say, oh, just take a year off dating.
What was that thing you said?
If you take a year off dating, you're losing a year of your eggs.
Okay. Well, then, do what you gotta do. I'm out of my depth here. I think Teresa said it best. She said people should, they want to meet somebody however they can. And I was insensitive, and I am sorry. Well, Teresa has made me see the ways. She's much more delicate than you. And so there's something about the way that she just sort of lightly proposes her argument. Whereas
she's like
you're
Zara
you know, you're just very... You know, you're very aggressive. I think we can agree on that, Teresa.
Oh, yes,
she gets
definitely.
A little aggressive.
Yes. She likes to win an argument.
Uncomfortable.
No matter what.
She's wearing a medallion. Zara bought a medallion. Now, she claims that she bought it because it's an initial of my name.
Yes, it's an R.
So, Zara's wearing a medallion with my initials like she's a gangster and she owns me.
Yes. By the way, I resent that you call me aggressive because I think if I was a man, I would not be called aggressive. It's because I'm a woman.
Good point.
And I'm being shouty, so I get called aggressive.
Good point.
But yeah, my mum is like me, but the light version.
Well.
Maybe, were you like this when you were
She's the original. She's the OG.
It depends on the subject.
Were you quite feisty?
I was quite feisty, but,
you see?
But not all the
I'll
time.
I'll mellow in my old age.
You know, the mic
not
technique.
Not all the time.
Okay. No, not all the time.
What were you feisty about?
Oh, different subjects that riled me at the time.
What's the subject that riled you?
Oh, I don't know. Can't think back. It was a long time ago. It was the 60s, the 50s. My memory's going.
Because you're pretty open-minded. You're very open-minded. You'll listen to many different points of view. I can't imagine you arguing, getting really riled up about something.
Yeah.
Because you're quite even-keel about a lot of stuff, you know?
Yeah, I even keeled a lot of stuff. And
yeah.
I
mean, you have an opinion for sure, but you're very, you know, you don't get all worked up like people do these days.
No, I don't get worked up about avocados, not at all.
No, that's true. There was the first day you came here and we were like about 20 minutes into the argument and I just noticed that your mom was in the corner of the room cowering like, and I realized that we had scared the children. We've got to wrap it up. Well, let's do something we can all agree on. Now, you say your mother is you light. Well, I think there's similarities between the two of you that are very obvious to me in the way that you plan your activities. Very detailed planning. I don't know what holiday you went on as a kid that went wrong?
Oh, God.
That has now made the two of you terrified not to plan for every possible exit strategy, every contingency that could go wrong. I mean, when I go on a trip or anything, I think of nothing. I barely remember I have the tickets on the way to the.
I know, and you were late for your podcast with your friend yesterday because you missed the train. I mean, that would not happen with me and mum.
Something
we
that
do not miss trains.
I hope it's something we can all agree on. I'm not sure it is anymore. Something we can all agree on is that Teresa, you are leaving tomorrow. You're leaving us tomorrow, which is sad. And so we noticed you were on the couch just now with several laminated folders
of her train journey
that apparently contain the full itinerary of your train journey.
She was writing down different trains as well.
Writing down different trains.
If she misses one, what connection can she get? Different combinations to get to Victoria, different combinations to get to King's Cross. Like,
so you're actually planning different routes
military
in the case of an unforeseen event.
No, I'm just planning where I change and what time and what train, and so I don't miss it.
Right.
Otherwise, if I miss my main train...
And you need color-coded folders for this.
If you miss your main train, that would be a disaster.
That would be a total disaster.
Now, what is that? Is that like, if you miss your main train, do you have like a sealed black envelope that you... that you crack open in the case of that event?
No, I'll be back here tomorrow night.
So that's the plan. That's the exit strategy. You come back here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a woman who, like, you know, I dropped you off at the airport once at 2 o'clock in the afternoon to find out that your plane was at like 9 o'clock at night. Your flight.
I think it was 10 o'clock at night.
I dropped you off 8 hours previous. I didn't realize.
It was long haul to India, though. It was. Mm-hmm. You do have to go at least 3 hours before.
That's true.
By the way, and this was a long time ago that she went to India.
Yeah.
Teresa's not patient zero, just so you're... but, yeah. And then there was the time that we, during Christmas, that we said... you were leaving the next day, and you sat us down to have a meeting about our travel plans. And
even I thought that was ridiculous.
So we were getting a bus at 1, and you said, well, maybe we'll get the one at noon just to be safe. And then you said 11.
The bus to
the train station. And I said, I just thought I'd see how far I could push it. I think I had you ready to agree for us to get a bus at 7 o'clock in the morning for a train that left at 1 p.m.
I remember she was like, oh, yeah, maybe we should do that, yeah.
And I'm just thinking, what went wrong that you guys went never again? Just some family holiday went so wrong that you the Zara's been...
I don't know what it is. It must be a form of anxiety. I don't know. We both get stressed when we travel. We get, like, a headache or a bad stomach. Like, my sister's the same. Any sort of traveling, it just causes... sort of anxiety.
Zara takes charge of the journey.
Yeah.
When she doesn't even know where we're going.
What do you mean?
It'll be somewhere I'm taking us. Hey, I'm gonna walk us here. I know where it is. Zara takes charge of it. She leads a little bit. She's like taking left turns. I'm like, where are you going? You have no idea where you're going. I know where we're going.
Well, that's another topic altogether, because I do think I have a problem relinquishing control.
Well, that's gonna change when I start making that sweet money around here. Once I'm rich. And then we're going to see, huh? Put my money where your mouth is. So something we can all agree on, maybe Teresa's travel plans are, I'll say a little excessive, but hey, hey, to each their own. I think it works, because you've never been late since I've known you.
I feel like we're completely tempting fate now.
No, yeah. Oh, gosh. No, I hope you don't have to break out Plan Z. Well, that'd be great, though. We'd love having you. So that's something we can all agree on. That's the episode for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Special late Mother's Day edition. Thank you,
special
Zara.
Teresa Barry. Check her out on Facebook.
She is...
and WhatsApp.
Not coming to a Zoom book meeting near you. She is out there. She wants to make friends. She is looking to meet new people. She's...
Bridgewater, ladies, if you fancy a gal pal. Or men.
She just said.
She just whispered, men.
I hope the podcast picked up Teresa whispering, or men. That's right, guys.
your favourite man is, what's his name?
Go ahead, say it.
We saw him in the charity shop today.
I forgot his name.
The book. Michael Palin.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Palin.
You guys would be good together.
Yeah.
I could see you and Michael Palin going on a journey, leaving early. Michael seems like he has a lot of color-coded folders that he uses for his travel plans. Michael would be in charge. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. Thank you so much. We've appreciated all the feedback that we've gotten on the podcast. Again, we're an independent outfit here. So if you guys can share it, tell people about it, do what you got to do. Give us a review, 5 stars. You know, put a good review up there, because only good reviews go on the website. Isn't that right, Teresa? That's right.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that.
That's a good way to end it.
Well, look at that. She's changed her tune. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.